Welcome again to a Christian Business Podcast, and we are joined again today by Andrew and Ariel Murray. If you caught yesterday's episode when it launched, then you are on the edge of your seat waiting for the business side of Andrew and Ariel's story. If you haven't listened to that episode because you didn't subscribe and get notified when it showed up, like, why wouldn't you? Then you need to stop right now and go back and listen to Andrew and Ariel Murray part one, and then come back and listen to this one. So we are going to dig in on the business side today and see what God's done in Andrew and Ariel's business. And before we do that, we're going to do a quick devotion here, something that just God laid on my heart this past week. And we're talking about equipping, and in Ephesians 4, verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And I look at, you know, in the business world, a lot of what we do as business owners with employees is equip. I mean, that's kind of our job, right? Our employees need the tools and the resources to get the jobs done that we need. But when we look at leaders in the business world, and we talked about this with Chris Weeks, Pastor Chris Weeks, on episode 4, I think it was, and we're talking about how a lot of business owners become leaders in the church as well, because they're that entrepreneurial, that starter, that leader kind of mindset. And really, a large part of the job of the church is to equip the saints. It's to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And then verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. And then it says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And what really struck me is, if we are reaching for the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that's not something that the saints are going to accomplish in this life. We cannot reach the fullness of Christ and Christ's likeness in this life, which means this job is never done. The work of equipping the saints for ministry is never done, which means we don't retire from it. And so, you know, yes, we can retire from like a vocation, like a pastor should retire. I mean, that's a heavy burden, but he never should retire from equipping the saints as a leader, whether that is discipleship and mentorship of the next generation, or whether that is sitting in his nursing home bed praying for the saints. I mean, what a huge equipping of the saints to pray for them, right? And so I'm just looking here and I'm seeing, yes, we can retire from business and we can retire from vocational ministry, but I think that in verse 13, that stature of the fullness of Christ that is never going to happen in this life means we don't get to retire. And maybe get to retire is not the right word. It's we don't have to retire. We don't have to stop equipping the saints as leaders and as the church. So this is just a thought process of, you know, you're nearing retirement, or you're getting on in years and wondering about your effectiveness, and hang in there, because the saints have not reached the fullness, the measure of the fullness of Christ, and you will, until you are gone, have some way to equip the saints, even at the very least through silent prayer. So anyway, so jumping into business, we left off. You guys were in Colorado, were purchasing a house sight unseen, and headed this way, and God orchestrated some things within that, and that was really cool. And so now you sign the dotted line, and you move to Michigan with no job, right? Neither of you had a job.
So yeah, we didn't have a job. We owned the house for about a week. You know, we had a closing date and stuff, but our offer got accepted. And we had a house in Colorado and a house in Michigan that we had never seen. And we really couldn't afford both, but we felt God calling us to, you know, hey, open and close the doors. And he opened it. We kept pressing forward in faith, and it went through. So we felt at peace on one end, and me, financial guy, on the other end was like, this is scary, because like somewhat, if I talked to my unbelieving business friends, they would probably say what I did was really foolish because I can't afford what I'm doing. You know, I bought a house that I've never seen, and how are you going to swing both of them? And it's like, well, I'm not really like, so, so it was just like, well, let's find another job. So then, you know, where we left off was, so we had made that, my company knew about it. They had a meeting about transferring me to Michigan and said, we just don't have anything. Like, we're totally fine if you step away and take something else if you're moving home for family, but we don't have anything for you. So that day was kind of heavy because it's like, ooh, I was really kind of hoping that they'll transfer me and I'll have a job here and that'll be that. But it didn't happen. So that was on like a Monday. And then I got a call that Friday. So this is just a few days later from another coworker and said, hey, I heard you bought a house in Michigan. Like, this is pretty serious then, huh? I said, yeah. He said, where's your house?
This is pretty serious then. Yeah,
we're a little committed.
We're beyond serious.
Yeah. So he's like, where is it, close to Muskegon? I'm like, yeah, it's like 30 minutes away. Why? He said, well, have you heard about Tom, was his name? And I said, no, what's up with Tom? So Michigan had 5 outside sales reps. Tom was one of them. And he said, well, he's really sick. I said, oh, what? Tom's 52 years old, you know, decently healthy guy. And I said, with what? And he said, COVID. And I was like, oh, well, he'll be fine, you know? And he's like, no, dude, it looks pretty bad. He's in the hospital. He's on a vent. So when we, over the weekend, he didn't feel good. Tuesday, he went in the hospital. And so we're talking on Friday and he's on a vent. And so I told Dario, like, all right, we just got to pray for this guy. And we can't think about what it means if he doesn't go back to work and we get that job. Right. We just have to pray for Tom to pull through because he has a kid in college, a high schooler just graduating.
Oh, man.
He's 52, like he's married, like we got to pray for Tom. So we start doing that. And then I get a call on Monday that he passed on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
So from in 1 week, he was working and fine. And then the weekend he died, 1 week of time. And so
and he was a rep doing the same thing you were doing.
Yeah. Michigan was full. There was no job openings. And then Tom got
and
sick
then a week later.
And then a week later it passed away. And then they called me and said, well, we need you. And it's in the, you know, the other thing is it's in the exact spot where we live.
Right. Like what? And it wasn't like, hey, we got the Detroit area opened up or whatever. It was, hey, 30 minutes from your house is the hub.
Yeah.
And so you walk in the door with some contacts here. And
so in a year and a half of praying, you know, feeling led to move home. And then kind of everything, material going up, our house being unbuildable, but then finding this house and then having no job, God provided a house and a job in a week.
Wow.
And, you know, so really it's kind of like you can look at, and the storm we're in now, which my devotion makes no sense until I talk about that, is you can look at and be pretty worried, right? Because from Andrew's perspective, from my view and Ariel's, things weren't, our plan wasn't really working, but we felt led to do our plan, but the details of it weren't working. But the whole time God was working. We just didn't see it.
Right.
God was building our house. You know, our house was being built. Right. We just didn't know it existed.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of a big life lesson for storms to come is, man, it can be hard and you can go, I don't know what God's doing, but then you can look at your past and see what he's done and go, remember that. Like, remember the past of a year and a half of not knowing and, you know, having some frustrating times and crying out in prayer of like, what's going on? And then God can flip a switch one day.
All of a sudden. And and it's in his timing too.
Like, absolutely.
You didn't need that job until Monday.
Yeah.
You didn't need it. You were still, because you were still in Colorado at that time.
Correct.
And they basically said on Sunday, we need you tomorrow. And so you jumped on a plane and flew, quotes, home, listed your house in Colorado. That sold.
Well, we rented. So toward the end there, we were renting. So we just were able to.
Oh, that's right.
And it
that's
stepped
right.
out pretty evenly, too. Like our
It was really good timing because it was close to the end of the school year. So we had enough time to get our house kind of situated, get the boys out of school and moved them and some of our stuff to Michigan, went back to tie up loose ends and get the house ready to for the next renter.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's just amazing how God And he stretches you and grows you.
Right.
Because you're
through that process. Because yeah, you're like, what are we going to do? You're nail biting. And he's just sitting there like, I got this.
He's
no,
on the throne.
I really got, no, like I really, no, I really got this, Andrew and Ariel. Like, no. Okay, guys, fine. You worry away. I'll take care of it on Monday.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, no, that's good. So doing the same thing. And then all of a sudden this opportunity presents itself with Right Way. So what did.
Yeah.
Let's kind of jump forward a little bit here.
Yep.
So,
you know, we're working in Michigan. My company, shortly after we moved, the one I'm serving as a sales rep for 13 years, gets bought by a private equity group.
Mm.
And they're going to sink the ship, is all the people above me, the ex-owner and all that, saying, don't panic, but get something else going.
Got it.
So, you know, with that, we started looking. And I was looking for some small business like a car wash or storage, something that I could still do my sales gig, but then dip my toe into entrepreneurial,
right?
You know, something that didn't have employees and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
So then Terry Wright, who goes to our church, Harvest Fremont, we had attended something called Party with the Pastors, which is like meet the pastors and ask questions about the church and stuff like that. So we went to that, and I had seen Terry at church. He's a deacon there. And after that time, he messaged me on Facebook and said, hey, man, for some reason, I just feel like I need to get to know you better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was my birthday. So he messaged like, hey, happy birthday.
Sure.
Are you from here? And so we just start talking. What do you do? I do this. And then I asked him, what does he do? And he said, oh, I own, you know, the solutions business. And then I own a marine business in town here, but I'm really praying about selling that. So if you know anybody, kind of jokingly.
Right.
And I'm like, well, we're kind of looking at, you know, buying a business like that, you know, like storage. So we had started meeting with him in January, and then we had kind of gotten a partnership and a buyout thing ironed out by March. Right. It was a bigger business than I thought because it had employee. It wasn't just like storage, you know, idle storage. It was like dock installations, takeout, detailing. Mm-hmm. It was more to it. So that was a little bit like, it's bigger than I kind of want to do two things with, but I really liked it. And Terry was really good to deal with through it, and is still good to deal with. He's still
and he was
partner
and he was involved. So it's not like you were jumping in just the two of you.
Yeah.
So you there was some sense of being able to do both.
Yes.
Because it wasn't all on you.
Yeah. Okay. No, it was, and he was, you know, we had sliced the deal 10 different ways.
Sure.
And I told him, like, you can get more money and probably better people. Don't go with us. And, but he really cared about the people more than the numbers.
Sure.
And he wanted, if he got maximum dollars for it, but then they laid off his guys. So he really, the whole time, that was the only concern he had in changing hands was, I just want the guys to be taken care of.
Right.
And I want you to, because that's the ministry.
Right. Is, oh, absolutely.
You know, these employees were, he was pouring into them and he wanted
that to continue.
Yeah.
Nobody is as a, and you know, you look at hires and stuff, and I was just talking to Justin the other day, you know, you look at hiring people and it's your company has a vision and a core set of values, and you, I mean, it's your blood, sweat, and tears in that. And it's even more so than like, okay, I built this house. I lived here, you know, 20 years, raised my family here, and now somebody else is buying it, and they buy it, and they the place just gets trashed, and it's, you know, and so you have that like, well, that was mine. But in business, it's not just a thing. It's people. It's lives that are being transformed. It's marriages that are being put back together. Right. Right. Yeah. Marriages that are being put back together, and you know, relationships being restored and people getting off. I mean, we've had a couple of guys, you know, get off alcohol and be able to provide for their family and stuff. And so it's all of this stuff happening. And for you to let that baby go to someone who doesn't share your core values, like, hey, what, you know, like you said, more money and losing that or less money, but still making sure that the people that I've poured into and that God has put in my spiritual circle of influence are still taken care of is huge. And so to know that you guys, what you were, you know, what you had slogged through and what you've been through and what God had done in your life was probably really, really comforting for him to be able to like, no, this is good. This is a good thing.
Yeah. And it's nice that, you know, he's a firm believer and so am I. So we really prayed, God, if this is your will for this deal to go through, open the door. And if it's not, close the door. And we're with that. Right. Like we having somebody like-minded, you know, and, you know, we talk about in marriage, the Bible talks about being evenly yoked, you know, there's so many issues if you're not with kids and how are you going to get through life?
Right.
I think business is the same. You know what I mean? If you're not like-minded in business, it's going to, because no matter what, it's work having business partners, different people, different personalities, same with marriage, right? Like marriage is, you know, sacrificial, right? I'm called to do that for Ariel, you know, and she's called to do it for me. Like, I have to love her like Christ loved the church, you know, and
gave himself up for her, right?
Yeah. Would die for her. Yeah.
Right.
So
exactly.
So with business, I think it's just really important. So that's been a sweet thing that we're like-minded. And so, you know, he kind of wanted to be out of it, but I kind of wanted his wisdom in it, you know?
Sure, right.
So
right.
we had said, like, let's work together for a couple of years. Like, don't go.
Right.
And, you know, there'll be things, it's probably sometimes, oh, just easy to clean the sheet and you're the owner and I'm not. But so we worked together pretty closely.
Got you. Well, you had to learn the business. You had to learn, you know, I mean, you knew some management stuff, right?
Yeah, I ran the dealerships. Rides. You know, that business was a $26 million business a year.
And so so you could, you know, numbers, that kind of thing. Yeah. You're like, you know how to make that, you know.
We just had to learn about dock and lift.
Yeah.
Dock and lift. You had to learn the technical
And I had called on as a sales rep. I had been reps for businesses like Right Way, you know, so I understood. But I think in business, when you think you have it all figured out and you can't learn something, is the day you know you're off.
You're
like,
done. Yeah.
So I think to lower your pride and go, I don't know everything.
Right.
You know, let's work. Because I think if you've ran something for 5 or 6 years and then you sell it, there's so much wisdom in 5 or 6 years.
Oh my goodness.
You know what I mean?
This doesn't work. Uh-uh. This is where I fell flat on my face. This is, and this is where I wasn't sure and I trusted God and man, things happened. And yeah, absolutely. So you came up with some kind of agreement to go in half or percentages or something.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So we are partners, you know.
And how long ago did you sign paperwork?
It was March when we figured out our deal.
We
so
had
this is year
a baby
two.
And had a business.
In the same month.
At the same time.
Yeah.
So
boy,
that's
you guys
been fun.
Are gluttons for that's, punishment.
Yeah, that's true too. We had a lot of change there of like, all right, let's make this commitment for this business. And then our daughter Callie was born on March 16th. So really it was within, I think, even the same week we nailed everything down. So we kind of had two things, like new baby and new business. So we had two kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Exactly. So this was March of 23.
Yes.
So you're starting into
year two
and March of 23, just coming into the season, there was like, okay, trial by fire here. And you probably learned quite a bit in those first few months, you know, April, May, June, like drinking from a fire hose.
And in that time, he's still working at Western.
We're still working.
Yeah.
As okay, so like, were you just kind of like a little bit of this and a little bit of this and a little bit back and forth, or
yeah,
was
you
it
try
like
to
Tuesday and Thursday I was here and Monday, Wednesday, Friday I was there.
I wanted that plan. I wanted like, well, there's 5 days in a week. Let's just do two of them and then two of them. But that never seemed to work. And when Terry had Right Way, he also had another business and he wanted the same thing, but it never worked for him to balance out. So really, I'd start my day out there, get everything going. But it was a trial by fire, and so many business things are like, you just start doing it. You know, when I was a sales rep, I did 7 months of it before I was trained to be one.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they send you to new rep training about almost a year into it. It's like this, I've been doing this just blind
exactly
for 7 months. But so this was the same way. You're just learning a lot. Year one, you're learning.
So Ariel, you're back home, so you had connections and you had people to hang with. You guys had connected at Harvest by this time, obviously, because that's where you made the connection with. So you got people, you got support system around you, etc. Ariel, you were you working elsewhere at this point, or were you?
I'm mainly a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. I do have a social media management business that I run.
Gotcha.
So that's what now I do for the business. I do for a couple of clients.
Okay, so you have a couple of
but
clients.
But it's all remote that I work from anywhere in a short amount of time.
Okay. And so kids are school or you homeschool?
School.
Okay, kids are in school.
two at school, one at home.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you're kind of doing both. So that helps a little bit from the advertising side and helps build some mm-hmm. opportunity for sales for him because, you know, you got to have folks, leads coming in, you know, whatever.
I posted a video and now I've got boat details coming out of my ears.
Right,
so
exactly.
Be careful.
Right, exactly. But so for you, Ariel, as, okay, now he's doing double duty again, right? And he's, mm-hmm. where, you know, back previously it was, you know, on the road 10, 12 hours a day and you were kind of single mom at home almost. And so now we go back into this again. Was there a point where you're like, here we go again? No, this is not what I wanted.
I feel like we had a lot of conversations beforehand of like, you can't be gone all the time. And our vision for the business is a family business.
Right.
And there's two different looks of that, like him going to work and we're kind of out of it, or him going to work and we're going with him. Mm-hmm. And we have friends in other states that have businesses where like the husband's up front in the shop and the wife's in the back, you know, doing the computer work and the kids are back there and they've mm-hmm. got their little nursery set up. And mm-hmm. so that's more of what I envisioned for Right Way for us.
Right.
Like we can bring the baby because it is our business. Mm-hmm. The boys can come and work in the summer and, mm-hmm. you know, do odd and end things. So mm-hmm. that's, I think, being together and it being so close to home and local mm-hmm. has really helped.
Gotcha.
I mean, we're there more than we're not there. So
what, give me one thing that Andrew did early on in this kind of busy time and difficulty. What did he do differently that made this so much better than the previous huge burden time-wise?
I think just our personal relationships with Jesus. So that's always number one.
Right.
I know that he is reading his Bible in the morning. He's listening to it with the boys on the way to school. They're praying. He has that at the front of his mind, and I have that at the front of my mind every morning. So that individually, mm-hmm. you know, we're good, we're solid. And then every night, we're reading or we're praying together, no mm-hmm. matter what.
Right.
Like there's always, God's always in the middle. And that is really, like you could be gone all day, whatever, but then we come home and we're praying together and mm-hmm. we're keeping God in the center of our relationship. And that's really something that is just keeping us together.
So what Andrew did, if I'm hearing you correctly, is Andrew almost stepped out of the way of, you know, trying to be everything and fixed his eyes on Jesus.
Maybe I let him get out of the, like, I don't need him in that way. Like I'm fulfilled with God,
right,
and I don't need
him
to fill, like I don't need all the stuff. I don't need the attention.
And you could trust that he was going to make decisions in your best interest and that he you know, his actions were going to be based on what God wanted for your family. And so you could almost rest in the fact that like, okay, this is crazy right now, but I know that what mm-hmm. he's doing is what God has called him to do. And so really I'm trusting God, not Andrew.
Yeah. And it's still hard, but
But
he is doing what he's supposed to be doing. And I know he's going to God with everything, every little decision that we had to make in that time.
So you see his reliance on God, and that number one forces you to also rely on God, but number two allows you to rely on God and not try and make that direct connection to God to satisfy the family, to take care of the family.
Yeah.
It's okay. He's got that. He's connected to a source mm-hmm. and he's not reliant on his own stuff. And I think that's huge to, you know, a lot of wives, you know, I mean, God created that order of man, you know, providing, right? The Bible even says if a man does not provide for his family, he's left the faith and is worse than an unbeliever,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's a huge, you know, Dave Ramsey talks about the woman having a security gland, right? mm-hmm. And so when there's an insecurity there, that gland just starts shooting out all kinds of hormones and worry and fear and anxiety. And so that was huge to you. So for, you know, we always talk about a couple nuggets for new people who are new to business, who are Christians, or people who are new to Christianity, who own a business. It's a big deal that relying on the spouse in and of their own power is scary because they fail.
Yeah.
But relying on the spouse's connection to God is not as scary because God never fails. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a heavy thing to take. We did our Proverbs 32 early.
I know, right?
Yeah. So, okay. So you're in Right Way now, and then that job mm-hmm. disappeared.
Yeah.
What happened? So the venture capital company came in, yeah. and just like they said, and you're like, hey, we don't need you anymore.
The stereotype of kind of sometimes what they can do to a company is built for a reason. You know, the stereotype is earned. So it's kind of following that way. And so they were just cutting a lot of things, closing warehouses, mm-hmm. you know, getting rid of brands, mm-hmm. getting rid of a lot of personnel, a lot of good employees, right? People mm-hmm. that are really good performers that were hard to get. And I remember bringing them on, and then just, you know, people either taking other opportunities because they can see the writing on the wall or whatever. So we were really blessed that Right Way, that God sent that.
Right.
So we're doing that, but we're looking at it as an investment. We are not taking money from it. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to grow it because we're hoping in a few years, you know, I'm thinking I have maybe 2 to 5 mm-hmm. left. And then at some point in there, if we can get Right Way to a point, we can step out of doing mm-hmm. 2 things and put everything into one thing.
Right.
But yeah, March 1 this year, I get a call at 10 a.m. that I'm done, mm-hmm. With no kind of warning. And, you know, 51 other guys got the same call that day.
Wow.
Of 151 guys, there's like 80 something left.
Oh, wow.
So a big 20-30% cut, you know? So, so then we're kind of like, that morning was pretty heavy that, okay, I lost my job. This is what we pay our mortgage with, our groceries, all our lives.
This is how you live.
This is how we live. Yeah. And we have this business that we're growing and is doing good, and we really like the future of it,
mm-hmm.
but it seems pretty hard for it to take it all of a sudden now. Right. So,
you now have more time to pour in, and you having that sales background and your wife having a, you know, social media business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that. Like you had a way.
Yes, we had opportunity.
You had opportunity there to now you can do something in the business that God has gifted you with the ability to do that the business needed.
Yeah.
Right. And it could have been that you had spent all your time in just management and you went into the business and the business needed sales and your skill was management. And so, mm-hmm. you know, now you're like really in trouble. But God moved you into the business in a situation where, hey, some sales was needed. Some growing the business with bringing in new revenue was needed. Mm-hmm. And hey, here's a guy who built a, you know, multi-million dollar sales territory, you know, and had the skill set to do that. And now he's like, okay, and that was preparing you for what this is now.
Yeah. And I do think that is, you know, how God works. He does prepare you for storms. And we can see that mm-hmm. of how he's prepared us with, you know, Christian believers all around us. We have a nice D group at church. Mm-hmm. We have a core group around us. Mm-hmm. And so God's really given us a lot of people and a lot of support and family and things like that. And even just weird stuff. I mean, that we had a hailstorm, you know, come through November. And mm-hmm. so we get a check for that and we'll still figure out how that works. But we're not at the end of the story where we can tell you how God has done it. We're in the middle.
Right.
But we can see that he's working and we can look at our past and see, you know, how faithful he is. And so I'm so encouraged with songs and scripture in this season, and it is absolutely growing us. So, you know, right now we are at a point where it's very easy, our flesh to worry. Mm. And it's very easy for me to grab the wheel and just go, I just need a high paying job, sales job, I'll be gone, whatever. I don't want to struggle, but I want to work the business, you know?
Right.
And I know that that's probably going to be the harder road,
right?
And a struggle, especially for the next probably 2 years. But that's where I feel called to push.
Well, and that's obvious. It is obvious. I mean, listen to the story, right? It is obviously where God wants you. Like, there is no way on God's green earth where you could be like, well, I'm not sure if God wants us to be a part of this business anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would slap you right now if you were like, we're kind of thinking about maybe getting out of it.
And yeah.
I think 10 people would slap you right now. Everybody listening to this podcast would slap you right now. So, but it's so important to look back at the story and see, because it would be easy for something to pop up, you know, something a little, you know, something shiny over here. And you'd be like, wow, you know, hey, this is a sales route and I would only need to work, you know, 35, 40 hours a week to generate the income that we need to survive. You have a smile on your face there. Did this happen?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Like, tell
his
story.
Like, his, he lost his job, but it's, you know, it's who you know. It's not what you know.
Right.
Andrew knows everybody.
Right.
And so we've had opportunities like, oh, hey, just calling to say, like, I see you lost your job at Western. There's this opportunity. Hey, there's this opportunity. Well, we've put in for a few of them and just didn't get them.
Right.
But we're also praying like, hey, is this the job? Is this not the job? Like, again, close the door, you know, open the door. It's going to be really evident.
Right.
If you're not getting a job, you're not getting a job.
Well, yeah. And I think in business, you can go, you absolutely, your business will have a huge gain as far as if you can put your time into it. If
right.
you're not spread thin with
right.
other stuff, right?
right?
Mm-hmm. So if you can really jump 2 feet in, yeah, there's risk, but also there's a ton of reward there if you can focus on it, you know, and not have four jobs or two.
Right.
If you can just go, this is it. So we were kind of like, all right, let's push this hard, you know? So we're pushing it hard and it is going well.
Mm-hmm.
But I also go, I can't be, you know, too big to go, well, I'm not taking a job. Like, I'm too big,
right.
good for that.
Right.
If I need to do that in the meantime and suffer through and run, you know, have something that eases Right Way's financial pain of, hey, I found this 1099 gig. It might pay 30 grand a year. That's just going to relieve some stress off the business, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
So we're really just praying for, you know, because as we haven't looked for jobs, but some have come across my desk and it's like, and so I kind of go, yeah, okay, cool. And I put in and I don't get it. And I think, all right, that's fine. And then mentally, that's a little weird because some of it, your pride can,
oh,
you
yeah.
can go,
what do you mean I didn't get
yeah,
that
like,
job?
I,
like, I'm the guy for that.
Well, yeah. And, but that's, God uses storms to teach you things.
Oh, absolutely.
And rough seas do what calm waters can't, and they right. grow you, right?
Ooh, hey, right.
And I don't want to
write that
I heard
down.
It somewhere. And I love
uh-oh.
It.
That's yeah. going on a YouTube short.
But those, so we're in that, and I don't want to waste the waiting and see what God has to teach me here. Because yeah, my flesh, I can be prideful. I can be, and ultimately I just want to do God's will. And if that means Right Way with a job for a year on the side to get through that rough patch of growth or not at all, but I just want to be found faithful in it. And so really right now we're really leaning on him. And it reminds me of our house buying and our marriage and all the other things of like, we're really just trying to surrender it to God. And some days are harder when you're like, man, I just don't think there's money here to pay for our mortgage and different things. We need to do something else. But no, 0% of me the whole time wanted to leave the business. None of me wants
right,
to leave the business.
Right. Because obviously,
yes,
God's
doing something. Now, in the meantime, I can't be too high and mighty to, you know, I need to provide for my
right,
family.
Right.
And God knows our needs.
Waiting tables or milking cows or whatever it is.
Yeah.
If it comes down to that,
if it comes down to it,
God would definitely open doors for you in that area.
But so far, he shut up. He said, nope, you don't need that job and you don't need that job.
Yeah, he shut the doors. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and that's
so,
not bad news because
right.
he shut
You know,
up.
We talked a lot with Grant Swinger, Compass Driving School, back early on. And we talked about kind of that letting go of the one, the, you know, the 9 to 5 to go work in the business and build that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just remembering some of that conversation of, no, you can go. You can let go. I got you. You know, God almost saying, I provided you for you. I provided for you in the sales job.
Mm-hmm.
I provided for you in this job. I provided for you in that job. So there is no there's not a situation that you can be in that I can't provide for you in. If that's milk and cows, then maybe there's overtime available, right? Because it's busy. Or, you know, if that's waiting tables, maybe that's bringing a bunch of customers in who just really leave super generous tips. Or,
right,
you know, God can provide your needs no matter what avenue it's in. And so to be willing to do that and be humble enough to take that on, because there's glamour in owning a business, right? I mean, my goodness, you get your name on the side of the truck. And you
not our name. You're, Terry's.
Right.
Not Murray Way.
Right. You know, you're riding down the road in a parade and you got a building and you got to come to my office. And, you know, I mean, that can be a really big kind of an ego boost.
100%.
And so to then walk away from that and say, no, I'm going to go take my name off the door, and I'm going to put someone else's name on my door, and I'm going to, you know, put someone else's shirt on and go into that. Like, that's a big deal. If that's what God's calling you to, it's going to take a lot of humility to make that happen. But again, listening to the story, I don't think that's what's happening.
So we're just really yielding to him, but you're absolutely right in the, you know, the fact that it can be an ego boost. And I think too, you look back and you go, well, yeah, I sold $37 million but you're like, no, I didn't do anything. God sent every penny to us.
Right.
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 And he can take it away too. And both are for his will, for his good, perfect will.
Absolutely.
And, so yeah, we see that now, and it, when you know the bigger picture, and then you run the business like it's God's, it's not ours. You know what I mean?
Right.
And what's our motive? Is our motive to bring to ourselves and to look at us? And like you said, business will give you opportunities to be really prideful. You know what I mean? And it'll give you a lot of opportunities to be greedy. So I think you have to have a really close relationship with the Lord and have some people in your life that keep you accountable to keep you in line, because there's just lots of opportunities in business to really idolize your business and become greedy and all that.
I think Terry set it up good with it being people-minded, like a mission-minded. I came in from mowing the lawn, and one of our employees' wives was in there talking with Andrew just about a situation they were in. And I hear him, like, you know, counseling her of, like, this is what I think you should do. And you have to take accountability for something you've done, and going on and on, and just ministering to her through the business, which he wouldn't have an opportunity if he was off, you know, doing the Western job. He could have done it there too, but I walk in on this. So how fun is that to see the business that we're working in, but also Andrew able to minister to our employees' families, and things like that.
Right. Because what's that worth, right? Okay, you know, you talk about investing in the business, right? Investing your time, investing your money into the business, and, you know, God meeting your needs and buying groceries for you, right? We got to eat, right? I mean, we got to eat. But do we need a snowmobile? Do we need
It's needs, not wants.
Exactly. Yeah. And I am willing to bet that the sense of, you know, well done, good and faithful servant that you felt after that conversation with that woman far outweighed doing 80 miles an hour in the UP on a snowmobile.
Yeah.
That feeling.
Yeah. Ministries.
I mean, like, this is what we invested for. We didn't invest for the toy. Not that you can't have that, not that God can't bless you with that and bless you with the kind of income to do that. But I would be willing to bet 10 years from now, looking back on that, you wouldn't trade that for any.
Yeah, that's the bigger one.
Bigger house or you know, easier life or nicer car or more toys. You wouldn't trade that for any of that.
And that's the thing. And you guys have talked about it with some other business owners in this podcast, but it is like, you know, you can do cutthroat business where it's all about the money, but that's not, you know, we have opportunity here to pour into people and walk with them. And sometimes having a 30-minute conversation with an employee about kingdom stuff is the best thing you can do with your time. And you'll call back the guy and you'll finish up the paperwork, but don't skew your priorities. That's more important. We always say, yeah, today was, you know, we did Right Way Marine work, but then we did Right Way Ministries for about 2 hours, you know, where it was like, we stopped and talked about stuff.
Well, even being here on this podcast, right? Like how many things could you be doing right now in your business? Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I mean, here we are approaching, we on a tight schedule, here we are approaching and
yeah,
we're going to, but you know, looking down the road, if I came to you and said, hey, Andrew, you give me $1,000 and I'll put someone in front of you who's going to receive Christ today. You'd write me the check. You'd say, can I do it twice or 10 times? Right.
Yeah.
And someone's eternity is going to be changed or someone's marriage is going to be put. I mean, after what you guys went through marriage wise, you know, if I could say, hey, give me X amount of dollars. And when you're done with this conversation with this person, their life is going to be changed for eternity. Like, there is no doubt in your mind or any Christian that like, yes, I would do that. But at times we're tempted to take that $1,000 in a profits over people kind of situation, or in a limit of relationships, or stepping away from the business, or whatever it is, because we don't necessarily see that other side of it beforehand. And so, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've talked a lot about kind of your personal stories and what God's brought you through, and I really think the core, you know, if we were to put when we put our description of this episode on here, I think it's, you know, going to be talking about God's how God prepares you through your story for what He's got for you, and when He's done that, you can't walk away from that. But the other piece that I think is heavy is after you guys had gone through so much with your marriage, all of the things that are in place now to help prevent that, you know, I did ask you, Ariel, you know, earlier, what did he do that? But I would say to both of you, what do you have in place now that causes you to feel confident that the same things will not happen? Talk to us about, you know, so that somebody could listen to this and be like, how do I prevent this from happening as I'm owning a business? How can you prevent what happened before, and what have you put in place now?
I think like communication's huge, talking about things, being safe with each other to say what's in your head and communicating that. I think number one, it does start with your relationship with Christ individually, and then putting Him in the middle of your marriage too, you know, to where you're meeting together and going to the Lord together, praying together. That's sweet time that you'll never regret taking, you know, and really putting action behind your, you know, a lot of people want to do things, but if you just really make it a priority and do them and build a spiritual discipline and a habit, that's huge. Because Ariel and me, I know Ariel's a different person, you know, with Christ, and through our marriage crisis, that changed us and that changed her. You know, I can see it. And going forward, I don't have any of the old worries, because God's renewed us, you know, and we are broken, right? We're broken people.
Right.
We're sinners saved by grace. But I think just a relationship with Him and seeking Him and being open with each other and communicating, that has been the big difference, is just God absolutely restored us and, you know, changed us. And we want to seek Him and His will. And that's just something we didn't do before.
Do you think that praying together, spending time in the Word together, do you think that that breeds more vulnerability and openness and communication and being, you know, sharing what's on your heart?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. And all the Christian counseling, you know, I would encourage couples to don't wait till it's a dumpster fire to get counseling. You know what I mean? You don't have to be in full crisis mode to get counseling. I think there's so much, and Christian counseling, not worldly, because our hope is in the Lord. You know what I mean? But I think that teaches you a lot of things of like, we're wired differently. Like, there's five love languages, you know, there's all the the stuff. But yeah, I think just applying those things and applying what the Word of God calls a husband to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sure for Ariel too, what a wife is supposed to be under the Lord, and parents. Mm-hmm. And just trying to do that here. But you never arrive. You will never arrive in marriage. It'll be something we work at through our whole life, just like Christianity. You know, we don't arrive here either. It's sanctification through our whole life. And you just hope to look back and go, I'm growing. You know, I'm not what I once was, but I'm not what I want to be. I'm just growing.
Right.
You know?
I think a big thing was like you're bringing sin to light. So then you know, and we have people who know in our lives, and they can check up on us too. Like, hey, maybe, you know, say Andrew is gone for a really long time. Like, how are you doing, Ariel?
Right.
Say I'm gone for a long time. How are you doing, Andrew? Mm. You know, checking in with us. So not sweeping it under the rug, saying we can do it ourselves. But yeah, bringing it to light, having people in like your D groups, your small groups, in your church, whatever around you that can hold you accountable, check in on you, and be real with you.
Right. So, yeah, because I think Satan, I think, you know, they say, idle hands are the devil's playground.
Mm-hmm.
I think secrets are his, like, war room.
Yeah.
Like, if he can keep things hidden, it's like he's got so much power.
They can grow.
They can grow. It can fester. And I think that that is a huge thing, that once things are out in the open, there's so much freedom there. But those things aren't going to come out in the open unless there's safety in the vulnerability.
Yeah.
That is coming through a mutual submission to Christ and a kind of undoing the fig leaves in the garden, right? A removal of that shame, etc. So, well, Andrew, you've got to get going back into business stuff. So, this just been so awesome, so powerful, and we're just so thankful for what you guys have, you know, been willing to share, with us. And a couple of items here. I think we took care of some of that Proverbs 32 stuff. So, some housekeeping. You know, we definitely appreciate you listening, and there are people that are I'm sure blessed by this story and a lot of the stories that we've had on the podcast. And so we would like you to share that, so we can get famous or whatever, but we really want this to bless people. We don't want God to waste this.
Right.
And this is an opportunity to share with other people the podcast is. So, you know, subscribe to the podcast on your chosen form. That's going to increase our search rankings when people are looking for help, looking for ways to you know, operate business God's way. Share it with your friends. Throw it on your Facebook page. You see us post an episode. Follow our Facebook page. You see us post an episode. Reshare it on your page. We would just love to see as many people blessed with this type of content as possible. Andrew and Ariel, we do thank you so much for being on here. Right Way Marine. People can check out your Facebook page. Is that probably the best way to see what's going on? Or you got a website?
Facebook, Right Way. Ariel, you can plug those.
Way Marine on Facebook, Right Way Rentals on Facebook. And then on Instagram, same thing, Right Way Marine Fremont and Right Way Rentals Fremont.
Yep.
On Instagram.
And then the website's almost done. It'll be rightwaymarine.com.
Okay. We'll make sure we get that link uploaded in the description and how to get a hold of them. And yeah, summertime's coming. Let's get a boat. Let's get a boat on the water and let's have some fun and support what you guys are doing and support the ministry that you've got going on there. So thank you guys for being on the podcast. It has been an absolute pleasure, and we are looking forward to maybe in the next couple of years have you back and
part three.
See what God's been doing. So check out part one if you haven't. Shame on you. stay tuned.